This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I hope inshallah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the full barakah and blessing and mercy of this holy day, and that every single one of our sins inshallah will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue our discussion on the series of the destructive sins which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from doing. We remind ourselves of the great mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred on us, and the great kindness in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with us when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that if you avoid the great sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the translation of which you are forbidden to do, we shall remit from you your minor sins and admit you to a noble entrance. As we mentioned over these past many, many weeks, and for the benefit of those brothers who are new to this, to the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that if we stay away from the major sins, then Allah will automatically forgive the minor sins and enter us into Jannah. So our discussion over these past few weeks has been, what are those major sins? What are they, and how do we stay away from them so that we may enter into Jannah and have our minor small sins forgiven? We have discussed and we have compiled a list of 9 sins. These, of course, as I mentioned and I remind us once again, this is not the entire list of all the kaba'ir, the major sins, but we have extracted from the Quran and from the Sunnah. The Quran mentions 4 major sins, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions 7. We combine them together and list them as 9. And there's no definitive list as to the number of major sins. It is left Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this knowledge to himself. But we'll discuss these 9 sins. And over the past couple of weeks, we've already covered almost half the list, 4 out of the 9 sins. And last week, we specifically focused on zina, sexual intercourse that is forbidden in Islam, and we have split that over 2 weeks. Last week, we discussed the evils with regards to zina. How major of a sin is it? How bad is it in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we look at some of the other sins, we may say, murder, we all understand, is a bad sin. It's evil. Murder, we know, is wrong. Everyone understands it is wrong. But is zina really so bad? How bad is zina? And we've listed and discussed last week at length the seriousness of zina. And we mentioned last week that in the Sharia, the term zina is used to encompass both premarital and extramarital affairs. It is the forbidden intercourse for someone, which is called fornication, someone who has not gotten married and committed zina. And it also includes, in this word zina, those who are married and have intercourse outside of their marriages. This, both of these are major sins. Not just the one that once you are married and you commit zina, it's major, and the other one is minor. No, both are regarded as major sins in Islam. Of course, the one is far more severe than the other. That, through our discussions last week and from the hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, and the fatwa passed by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, when he said, in his opinion, the third worst sin after shirk and murder is zina. It's the third greatest and gravest sin of all based on a hadith. And in the Quran, it is mentioned along with shirk and murder. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa yadu billah has mentioned in the Quran a specific double punishment for those who fall into one of these 3 sins, shirk, murder, and zina. In a hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, as we said last week, that when one acts or is in the process of committing zina, one's iman has diminished to such a low level that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has no iman left. Some schools of thought outside of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, certain sects like the Khawarij, have actually classified people who commit zina as kafir based on this hadith, that you actually become a kafir. This, of course, is not the view of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You remain within the parameters of Islam so long as you don't commit shirk. And of course, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it a shameful thing that one cannot marry a fornicator or an adulterer or an adulteress. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said it is haram for you to marry such a person. And many of the ulama, amongst the fiqh scholars, they said anyone who has been punished for fornication, the punishment was upon them, they were flogged. No one can marry such a man or a woman except another person who was flogged. It's a tarnish against your name and character. The punishment for zina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed a punishment for it in the dunya and in the akhirah. This is an indication of the severity of the sin. The ulama mention any sin which has a punishment in the dunya, like stealing, like drinking of alcohol, like telling, being false testimony, which we will discuss next week, inshallah, there's a punishment in the dunya. It's a serious sin. So this punishment for zina prescribed in the dunya for the one who commits zina before marriage, fornication, 100 lashes and exile for a year. And for the person who is married or was married and commits zina, this person should be stoned to death. We mentioned at length last week the requirements for this punishment to be applied and all the rules regarding that. Homosexuality as well. A lot of news and discussion is going on about this. The Sharia is very clear in Islam that this should be, it's a punishable by death. This is in Islam. This is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been revealed to us. Of course, this is practicing on your intention. Practicing on what is inside. If one has desire, for whatever reason, Allah does not punish you for that. In fact, you are rewarded. You are rewarded if you stay away and refrain. So all of us, each one of us, we desire that which is not, which is haram. You are married, you see a woman, you have desires. You are not married, you see someone, you have desires. You may desire many different things. You are not punished on your desire. You are in fact rewarded if you have patience. And Allah forgives if you do not practice. But once you practice beyond the parameters of Islam, then Allah has put down these requirements, these punishments for those who exceed the limits. Also in a hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specifically saw those who fell into zina, a special place in Jahannam, like an oven, where Ya'adhu Billah, Allah protect us, never ever enter, come near, even see or hear this place, a special place for the people of zina, has been made for them a place in Jahannam. And besides the punishments in the dunya and in the akhirah, general punishments which we see, general hardships that we see of the spread of diseases associated with zina, and the shame and the societal breakdown that is the result of zina. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of us, or in the world we live in today, people may say, your Islam is back, is old, outdated. How can your religion dictate what we do in private? We are big people. What we do in our homes, in our bedrooms, it doesn't involve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see the result in our society today. We see the effect thereof on our society today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this a serious, serious crime and prescribed serious punishments. How do we then prevent and stay away and get protected from it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, not only does He tell us how to, what the destination is, Allah shows us how to get there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how to get there. We know the time that we live in, it is surrounded by fitna, for us colloquially, fitna means backbiting, to speak ill about someone behind his back. Fitna means a tribulation. This is what fitna means. So we are surrounded by trials and tests and tribulations. We are surrounded by all kinds of temptations. Never before has man lived in a time where you find temptation all around you. You might want to be a good person, but you find temptation coming to you. How do we survive? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in Surah Nisa, who you can marry, who you shouldn't marry, when Allah speaks about women and men, the interaction between males and females in nikah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, off before in this previous ayat, speaking about who you can marry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make it easy for you. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. That Allah has made insan ضَعِيف, has made insan weak. Allah establishes that. Don't think that any of us, no matter how big your turban is or how big your beard is, how much knowledge you have, you are protected from the weakness of the opposite sex or from desire and shahwa. Allah has made it in our nature that we are weak, we'll incline to that which is haram, except what Allah has prescribed for him of His mercy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam further stresses that there will come a time of patience when the one who adheres steadfastly to the deen will be like one who holds onto a burning coal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahaba, a time will come in the future where to be a good Muslim will be so, so difficult. It will be like you are holding a burning coal in your hand. You are the one that is outside. You are constantly being bombarded by evil and temptation. We know we live in times like this today. We know with our weakness and society that we're in, it's very, very difficult to remain steadfast. 60, 70 years to live in this dunya and not to once make a mistake in this regard, very, very difficult. So how can we safeguard ourselves? And the Sharia in Allah's mercy and kindness has provided step by step how to avoid the major sins, how to avoid getting to the real destruction, Allah provided us guidance thereof. So how do we avoid falling into zina? How do we avoid falling into zina? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us safe from ever falling into zina, let us preserve it until the day we die and we can stand up with Allah and say, Ya Allah, all the sins I have done, but one thing I've done is kept myself pure for you and you alone. How do we get to that position? By avoiding the steps towards zina. While zina itself is a major sin, there are many minor, smaller sins which lead to zina. And if you avoid those steps, you won't reach there. No man wakes up in the morning and says, ah, today I'm going to commit zina. All right? No one does that. He wakes up with the intention, definitely, I don't know who she is or who he is, but I'm going to find him and I'm going to know her and I'm going to commit zina. No. Many times we say, I fell into it by mistake. I didn't intend for this to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how to avoid the steps, cut the problem off when it is easier to cut off, and you won't fall into the major steps. And these are, while we may be, alhamdulillah, hopefully all of us, clear from committing zina and the major sin, we are very sometimes guilty of these minor forms of zina, or the steps towards zina, we are all take our share in it. In fact, there's a hadith that says that every one of Bani Adam will take his share of zina. Not only the major, there's minor zinas which we'll talk about, but everyone, somewhere, somehow, you fall into it. So by cutting off the sin there, inshallah, we'll avoid falling into the major sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms it when he says, translation thereof, and come not near to unlawful. Don't go even near to it. Not only is zina haram, but that which leads to zina is also haram. Verily, zina, it is a fahisha. As I said, specific terminology Allah uses for zina, it is a shameful transgression. And it is a huge sin in the sight of Allah. So how does Allah put in the protection for us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links zina with looking. And we know today, so easy it is to look at that which is haram, and that leads to zina. So easy for us on our phones and our computers or pictures or around us or even in the street now that we've lived, Allah links that which you look at, links to zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell the believing men, and Allah starts here with the men, because men are more covetous than women. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze and protect their private parts. Allah has linked the haram zina with what we look at. So by lowering the gaze, by lowering and looking away and say, you see someone that is attractive, say, this is haram, I look away. Inshallah, Allah will protect you from falling into the major sin. That Allah says is purer for them. Verily Allah is all aware of what they do. And Allah affirms this in the next ayah and says, and tell the believing women also, women as well, to lower their gaze and protect their private parts and protect their chastity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam confirms that there are many forms of minor zina. You have the major zina, which is intercourse, but all the steps leading up to it is regarded as minor zina. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the eyes commit zina by looking, and the ears commit zina by listening, and the tongue commit zina by speaking, and the mouth commit zina by kissing, and the hands commit zina by acting or touching, and the feet commit zina by walking towards it, and the soul with wishes and the desires inside, and then the private parts only confirm that which the rest of the body did. The private parts will only confirm that which everything else has done. So if the eyes don't commit zina, or the hands, or the feet, or the heart doesn't commit zina, never will the private parts commit zina. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu has guided us, stop these small minor things which we are guilty of daily, and inshallah we will never fall into the big sins. Another problem that we have in our society today, we live in a Western world, we know. We constantly interact with the opposite sex. We can't help it. Work in the shops, but in our private capacity, who we speak to privately, who we meet privately, who we take as our friends, this is where Allah subhanahu wa demands that we put up restrictions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, let no man be alone with a woman, of course, meaning a non-mahram woman, a woman that you can get married to, and let no woman travel unless she is with her mahram. Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, in fact, muttafaqun alayhi, both Bukhari and Muslim agree as affirm that this is sahih. So it is up to us. No one can police you in this regard. No imam or sheikh can come and watch and police you. It is between you and Allah. How you spend your time. So make an effort. Men should not have female close friends. And females should not have close male friends. This is not part of the Sharia. Whether we talk to them privately, we meet them privately, this is not what the Sharia prescribes. Another hadith, whenever a non-mahram man and woman meet in seclusion, shaitan definitely is the third one there, encouraging them to commit haram. Another hadith with pertaining to this, even Uqba ibn Amir, may Allah be pleased with him, quotes that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, beware of entering upon women. Don't go in and without knocking or being very openly and having no restrictions between each other. So the man from Ansar, a person from Medina, said, oh ya Rasulullah, but what about the in-laws? My brother's wife, he stays with us. My brother and we stay in one house. Is there even a partition? Should there be a restriction between me and her? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the in-law of the wife is death itself. Sisters, this does not mean when they say the in-law, your mother-in-law is death itself. I know sometimes we think of the in-laws, you think of the mother-in-law is death. No. The in-laws between brother and sister-in-law, sometimes we are very lax, we kiss, we hug. No, haram. When your brother or your sister pass away, this person becomes halal for you to marry. We are too open and frequent with each other in this regards. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this is death. The chances of zina coming in between such instances, very prevalent. May Allah protect us. Another very simple thing which has major repercussions is how we dress and conduct ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and tell the believing women to draw their head covers over their chests, over their bodies, and do not reveal their adornment except, and Allah mentions to whom they may show their adornment, their husbands and their fathers and their sons, and let them not stamp their feet to make known what they conceal of their adornment. And turn to Allah in repentance, all of you, O believers, that you might succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions how a woman should walk, not only the way she should dress. Another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs, when the wives of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks to people, it should be behind a covering. How they speak, how they dress, even the way they walk. You know, I was listening to the radio, some of you might have been listening as well, where they were speaking, you know, when a woman wears a certain type of shoe, it shows her intentions. If she wears a flat shoe, it means she's not interested. If she wears a high heel, she's intending something. You know, you have a chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions the way one walks and the way a woman interacts, both men and women. But these little things are the result of major crisis. These little things. And these are small things which, as a father, as a husband, as a mother, as a daughter, we implement in our household. It's between you and Allah. Not for the imam, not for the government to intervene. It's between you and Allah. To say, ya Allah, I want to reach you. Make it easy for me. How we dress. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentions severe hadith with regards to a woman who deliberately beautifies herself for attention. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, any woman who wears perfume and then passes by some men so that they would smell her perfume, she is an adulteress, she's a zaniya. Of course, not meaning that the punishment of zina is upon her, but it's as if though she is a zaniya. This is what the hadith means. That she is a facilitator of zina. This applies to men as well. If you deliberately beautify yourself for the opposite sex to be tempted, it's haram. You facilitate haram. We should not make it easy for someone else within the ummah to fall into haram. So these are the steps, how we prevent minor forms of haram, and we achieve, inshallah, protection from the major haram. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also prescribed protections for us. If we apply these things, it may also save us with the grace of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Nabi Yusuf, a Nabi of Allah. This is an ayah to a Nabi, so we are we. And Allah says, when the woman of the house, his master, or the wife of his master, she certainly determined, she was determined to seduce him. And he would have inclined to her. This is a Nabi of Allah. He would have fallen for her. He also wanted her. Right? He's a Nabi, but he also had desire. He was a man. Nabi Yusuf was a man, beautiful man. She wanted him, and he inclined to her, had he not seen the proof of his Lord. Had Allah not intervened. If Allah did not intervene, then subhanAllah, he, a Nabi, would have fallen into zina. And thus, that we should avert from him evil and immorality. Indeed, he was of our chosen servants. He made dua. And when you, in this time of difficulty, you may find that you think of this person night and day. You may know this haram. I'm not supposed to be thinking of this person. I'm not supposed to be talking to this person. I shouldn't be in touch with this person. But the heart is what wants something which is haram. Make dua, inshallah. Allah is the one that puts love, and Allah is the one that takes it away. Make dua, inshallah, for that. Allah also specifically mentions of the powers of salah, of the benefits and bounties of salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, recite what has been revealed to you of the book and establish salah. Indeed, salah prohibits immorality. It stops fawahish. Fawahish means sins attached to zina. Salah specifically combats that. Is greater, is akbar. Remember? This ayah we mentioned. You find people, I find youngsters, not the best of people, not awliya, when they, one thing that they, if punctual on the five salah, they said, look, I don't dress properly, I have friends, I do this, but I always make sure I make five salah. You always find such people, most of the time, they are protected from falling into major sins because they realize, I can't go to this place because it's Maghrib, what's going to come in. I can't go there because then Asr is going to come in. Now, once you make salah a priority, inshallah, other things will fall in line. Marriage counseling. Whenever someone comes, the imam usually asks first thing, are you two making salah together? Or are both of you making salah? If they say, oh, we're neglectful. So there's nothing more I can do for you. First fix that, then the barakah and the mercy comes. Salah is the beginning and the end of our deen. Other forms of protection prescribed in the sunnah. Of course, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specifically said, oh, young men. Why? Because young men, of course, the energy and the desire is there. Not to say that some old brothers of ours, alhamdulillah, they're as young as though they're 18, they can, you know, still, they still have the strength of an 18-year-old. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specifically said to them, oh, young men, those of you who are able to, then get married. Because this is safer for you. It protects you from that which is around you of haram. And that was in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba. What about our time today? And of course, for parents today to assist our young people in getting married. The age of marriage is becoming later and older. We need to study. We are studying more things. Good, very good that we study. Doctors and lawyers, 6, 7, 8 years, 10 years. But then the parents of your responsibility, like you are responsible for their education, you are responsible for the akhirah. You are responsible for their place with Allah. Facilitate for them marriage and don't become a hindrance. Let parents not hinder our children and say it's okay to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and to go out at night and come back. They said, no, they have a curfew, they come back at 12 o'clock, shit, don't worry. SubhanAllah, what happens between now and 12 o'clock? We all know. So a parent's responsibility, like your responsibility for raising your children and educating them, choosing, that they, helping them choose to make the best decision. More important than their career is their life partner in the dunya, in the akhirah. More important, you'll change your job 2-3 times, your home, but you inshallah take a wife or a husband for qiyamah, for akhirah. Of course, if you can't get married, Nabi Sallallahu gives you the other option, fasting. I know it's difficult, but this is, will diminish your desire. And remembering as that young man that came to Nabi Sallallahu, we said last week, he came and said, Ya Rasulullah, make zina halal for me. He came to the Nabi Sallallahu, make zina halal for me. Right, of course, Sahaba was, everyone was shocked. Nabi Sallallahu, come my little, sit down, let me speak to you. And he said beautifully, you want to commit zina, but do you want another person to commit zina with your sister, with your mother, with your daughter, with your auntie? He said, no, I would hate that my daughter or mother or sister is treated in this way, to be used and discarded. So too, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, but you are now doing this to someone else's mother or sister and daughter. Keep that in mind. Because once the young man got up, he said, when I remember this, I never ever came near to zina. This hadith alone was enough for him. He never committed zina in his life. That's what he says. Of course, in spite of all that we try and we do, we may still fall into sin. We may still fall, and this inshallah, at the end of this discussion of major sins, we'll talk about what happens if I have committed murder, or I did commit shirk in my life, I did dishonor my parents. Is there a way out? I will specifically mention here with zina, we hope nothing, none of us have ever come near to it, or will ever fall into it. I mean, Allah protect us, but if we have fallen into it, is there still hope for me? There's always hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't ever, ever lose hope in the rahmah of Allah. It is a bigger sin for you to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't forgive you. It's a huge, a much bigger sin than, because now your tawheed in Allah has fallen apart. First thing, especially with zina, and with any other sin, but specifically with zina, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my entire nation is safe from the sins they do, except the mujahireen, those who expose themselves or boast. Among the muhajireen is that a man commits an evil act and he wakes up in the morning while Allah has kept it secret. No one knows what he did last night, but in the morning he wakes up and he goes around and he boasts about what he did the night before. Or similarly, today people commit sin, they in places haram, they do things haram, photo on the internet for the world to see. Alright? So never, if you've turned away from sin, the first thing you do, you don't divulge it to anyone or anybody. It is between you and Allah. it is a shameful thing that you quiet. It never happened. The first thing, and this is something we, one of the signs of Qiyamah is that we commit sin and we publicize it. We are not ashamed anymore. In the past, people commit sin and they were shy. They never let anyone know about it. Today, it's exposed. So this is the first thing we need to stop. And then, of course, repentance. Allah, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, and the two who committed, when Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala speaks about zina, when Allah speaks about zina, Allah immediately follows it up by speaking about mercy. And Allah says, and the two who committed zina among you, dishonor them both, apply the punishment, be severe with them. But if they repent and correct themselves, part of tawbah is to cease what you are doing. Then leave them alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't harm them or harass them or mention them in names or speak ill of them. Leave them. Indeed, Allah is ever accepting of repentance and is merciful. Specifically to zina, Allah has revealed this ayah. But if someone has corrected themselves, what they did in the past between them and Allah doesn't involve you, doesn't concern you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive them more than you. That woman we spoke about last week who said, Ya Rasulullah, I want you to punish me. I committed zina. While they were stoning her, one of the Sahaba was a bit emotional. He lost his cool, said something, you know, he was a bit in the moment. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, go easy. For this woman, the mercy Allah has given to her and the mercy Allah has shown her, if it were to come down upon us, it will be like rain covering the entire Madi. All of us will be covered in that rahmah. So the one who repents from sin, this is a rule in Islam. If you repent and you are sincere and you desist, whatever you have done, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that sin. It is as if though you have never ever committed sin like that. So we make dua. When you make this sin, if you ever fall in any sin, part of repentance, I will never go back to it, Ya Allah. That is turu tawbah. That's enough. And you continuously make istighfar. But after talking about sin and zina, for those inshaAllah, the objective, what about the one who comes to Qiyamah and says, Ya Allah, Alhamdulillah, I not once in my life committed zina. What is there for me? Remember this as well. You have one opportunity to come to Qiyamah, even if you are forgiven, but to come to Qiyamah, of course, the one who never committed zina, inshaAllah, is of a superior station. What is there for him? Number one, we know of the hadith of the three who were stuck in the cave. They were in a life-threatening situation. And they made dua to Allah saying what good things they did. One of them said, Ya Allah, I had the opportunity to commit zina with the love of my life, the woman I wanted the most. But then she said, I seek refuge from Allah and I remembered you and I desisted. Allah saved his life. So you're going through difficulty in your business, in your health. You make dua, Ya Allah, I could have committed zina, Ya Allah. No one stopped me except my fear for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easy for you that which is difficult. Remember, Jamaat al-Muslimin, if a sin is major and the punishment is major, then the reward for staying away is even more superior and much greater. Remember, that which Allah has given to you of reward will far exceed your expectations. And this is confirmed in the hadith when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, having intercourse with one's wife is a charity, is a sadaqah. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, if one of us fulfills his desire with his wife, is there a reward? Is Allah still going to reward us for having intercourse with our wives? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Do you not see that if he does it in a haram way, if you commit zina, then Allah will punish him? So if he does it in a halal way, he will certainly be rewarded. Another good reason to get married, you can be in ibadah, very easy ibadah and sunnah to follow. You'll be rewarded for this. Another specific hadith for those who abstain from zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that on Qiyamah, no one will have shade from the sun on that day. No one. Not the mufti, not, you know, no one who does except seven special people. Only seven types of people. Of that seven, a man who is called by a woman of beauty and a noble woman, she calls him to zina. She invites him to zina, but he says, I fear Allah. He has the opportunity to commit zina with not just any woman, not just the people that call you on the street, that doesn't count, but a woman of status and beauty, a woman you desire. And you say, I fear Allah, then you will, inshallah, just that one act in your life, you will fall under the arsh of the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also amongst those seven is a young person. Why? Because zina, of course, is more difficult for, it's more of an issue for us, for younger people. A young person who grows up in the worship of Allah, he will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu in the hadith Qudsi, that it is guaranteed a place in Jannah if you can protect yourself from zina. The hadith says, anyone who safeguards for Allah's sake what is between his jaws, meaning protect his tongue, and what is between his legs, his private parts, Allah will safeguard for him a place in Jannah. Protect what you say and protect your private parts. That's enough to attain Jannah. Very difficult to do this. But if we do it, inshallah, it's a ticket to Jannah. Watch what you say and watch how you interact in terms of zina. Then of course, lastly, it is a sign of a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that certainly the believers are successful. We say, who are the mu'minun, ya Allah? Who are the believers? Allah lists them, mentioning salah twice, those who make salah, those who are punctual. And of the things Allah says, the believers, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِذُونَ, they are those who guard their private parts. These are the believers. Qiyamah of a sign of belief. If you can go through your life, you've never committed zina, protected your private parts except for that which is halal for you, it's a sign of your iman. And that is the greatest reward you can have. On Qiyamah, you can say, ya Allah, this is my evidence that I'm a believer. And inshallah, that will guarantee you into Jannah. For Allah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and protect us. Whatever sins have gone by, Allah subhanahu, Allah's mercy is far greater than the sins we commit. Allah is most merciful and most kind. We ask Allah subhanahu to keep us safe and our youngsters safe, inshallah. Next week, inshallah, we continue and we discuss to bear false testimony is one of the major sins of amongst this, our list of major sins. Inshallah, we also remind that during the week, alhamdulillah, our classes are picking up, and alhamdulillah, the masjid is very busy. Great, we're very happy about this. On Mondays, if you come, inshallah, we invite all of you to study the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was our great Nabi, to build that love with him before Maghrib, from 6:45 to Maghrib, the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's all the list of topics we're covering. On Tuesday, especially for us, we're speaking about zina, and marriage is the most important way to protect ourselves. If you're not married, you are married, protect your marriage, protect yourself, attend our marriage class, Sheikh Nasser Barnes, after Maghrib, on Tuesday evenings. And alhamdulillah, very happy that our astronomy class on Wednesday, a very unique course after Maghrib on Wednesdays by Professor Ridwan Khalan, our astronomy class. Please, inshallah, we hope that you attend. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Salaam wa salim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum.